thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Amen. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, we're going to the book of Romans this morning. Book of Romans. I don't believe the senior adult class did the same lesson that I did, but the lesson I taught this morning was teaching biblical principles in the home, I believe is what the title of it was, but it closed in Romans chapter 12, and specifically in one of the verses we're going to read this morning, but it was not my intention to do that. Matter of fact, I had this message. I felt to preach it before I even realized that this was going to be one of the places. Maybe you read it, maybe you didn't this morning. But have something stirring in my heart, and I want to share it with you with the Lord's help. We're going to look at the topic of zeal and fervency this morning. Because, you know, it's possible to be engaged in religious activities and be cold in our hearts. It is a possibility. There are people who are doctrinally sound and spiritually dull. We can have structure, we can have order in our services, but still lack the fervency and the zeal that God calls for in the Scriptures. No one wakes up in the morning and decides to allow their fervency to cool into complacency, but rather it happens slowly. As prayer becomes a routine, worship becomes a familiar transaction, obedience slowly becomes selective, and service in the kingdom becomes mechanical. And the heart that once burned brightly begins to smolder into embers. And when Paul writes here in Romans chapter 12, he's writing to believers that new doctrine. In fact, for 11 chapters, he had unfolded doctrine. He talked about universal sin at the beginning of Romans. He talked about justification by faith, union with Christ, life in the Spirit, the sovereignty and the mercy of God. But then in chapter 12, he turns from theology to transformed living. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he begins to go through some of the traits of what that type of life being presented as a living sacrifice looked like. In other words, in light of what God has done, all the mercies that God has bestowed, this is how you are to live. And in the middle of that Christian exhortation that Paul gives, Paul inserts a command that cuts to the heart of complacency. And I want to highlight, I want to read it together. Only verse we'll read for our introduction this morning. But Romans chapter 12, verse number 11. Let's read it together. If you got your Bibles open in front of you. Paul writes and he says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not very many words, but let's read it again. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How many know the Christian life was never meant to be idle or to set at coast? It was meant to burn with spirit-produced fervency. And before we examine Paul's commands, we must ask ourselves the honest question, has the fire dimmed? Has our zeal cooled? And are we serving from the flame of the Spirit or simply out of habit? Romans chapter 12 forces us to confront our spiritual temperature, because spirit-fueled fervency is not optional. It is healthy Christianity, and it is essential. So I want to preach this morning, stretch forth your hand this way, on a holy fire, on a holy fire. Let's pray and ask God's help. Father, we thank you today for all that you've done. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. I pray that you would quicken my mind. I need, God, for you to come by this way and make these words alive. Oh, not merely about my ability, but God, make it about the Spirit's ability to bring it home today. You know how desperately we need you today.
And I pray that you would move in such a way to respond to our need. And Father, we ask it in that name of Jesus. Amen. And amen.
First of all, I want to highlight here, Paul says, not slothful in business. And out of that, I want to just say, this is the danger of cooling. The word business here that Paul refers to is not commerce or corporations, but it literally speaks of diligence or earnestness. It could be literally read, don't be lazy in your diligence. Or as the Amplified renders it, never lag in your zeal. The image of something here is that something that was once moved quickly is now moving more slowly. The slowing down that Paul speaks of here, though, isn't the mere physical slowing that occurs naturally because of age, but it is a slowing of the affections of the heart that Paul is warning about here. It is that when that heart, the affections of the heart, no longer flame brightly, but rather they have dimmed into something that God has not intended for it to be. Paul is assuming something about zeal here this morning. Oh, and diligence, namely that zeal and diligence can cool off and it can slow down. The fire of the heart does not automatically sustain itself. In fact, the New Testament consistently treats zeal as something that must be guarded, something that must be stirred, and something that must be maintained. In fact, I think of the word of the writer of Hebrews when he pins this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 12. He says, and that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, this idea of slothfulness, both used by Paul and the writer of Hebrews, is this, that which is dull, that which is spiritually heavy, that which is in the state of inertia, that which is tardy or lazy. While the New Testament certainly teaches against physical laziness, this is a state of spiritual inertia. And the fact of the matter is, oh, every one of our hearts has a tendency to return back to that state. Oh, when we get born again, we are not born into a state of stillness, into a state of inertia, but rather the Bible describes the change so dramatically. He said it's like being in a tomb and then being brought back to life. He said it's like sitting in utter darkness and walking into light for the first time. That is the state into which we are born. Something is kindled on the inside of us. There is a birth that takes place, and our inner man comes to life with the power of God, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of us. But the fact of the matter is, our tendency is not to live in that power, but to go back to the state of inertia, to go back to the state of stillness. Oh, if we do not keep the flame stirred, if we do not keep our devotions holy before God, we return back almost to the deadness and to the stillness, as it were. Oh, in fact, Paul would write and he would say they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And when Paul writes here and he says not being slothful in business, he's writing about, and he's warning Christians that the possibility is you can go from vibrant life back into the stillness of death almost imperceptibly if you are not careful as believers. You know, it's possible to maintain right beliefs while becoming lethargic in our pursuit of God. Can I ask you, are you seeking God with more fervency today than you ever have in your life? You ain't got to answer, but I just ask the honest question. Are you seeking God with more fervency than you ever have in your life right now? Because if you're not seeking Him with more fervency than you ever have in your life right now, well, you're returning back to the state of inertia. Returning back to the state of stillness. Paul is warning us against spiritual apathy, which seeks to get by with as little work and as much and as little inconvenience as possible. And it resents the necessity for any exertion as a burden and an imposition. A form of Christianity exists today which is void of fervency, and it feels safe because it is controlled on every level. I tell you, this preacher's been on his face. I said, God, I don't want to just go through the motions. We've had enough times where we've gone through the motions. In fact, Brother Israel Ochoa stood in this pulpit not a year ago, and he told us, as the Spirit of God was moving on him, he said, if we don't move forward, if we don't progress, he said, within 10 years' time, this church could cease to be a church. Can I tell you, there hasn't been very many days that have gone by that I haven't thought about that as a pastor. I'm not going backward. I intend to go forward by the grace of God. But yet we come in and we do our normal thing and we think, oh, well, we've got it all checked and we're good to go. I'm going to tell you, God's been stirring my heart. I've prayed and I've asked God, Lord, would you revive Abundant Life Tabernacle? I've said, God, would you pour out from heaven your Spirit again? And you know what the Lord's been leading me to do? Not just pray it for this church. I've been, God, do it for this pastor. Oh, will you light a fire on the inside of me? If nobody else wants to get on fire, this pastor's heart's going to be ignited with the flames of heaven. And I'll not sit still and return back to the state of inertia, but I will march forward by the grace of God and see exactly what it is that he has for our lives. Oh, you know what? People like the safety of stillness. There's no fanaticism there. No worry about somebody calling you a fanatic when you're over there in the state of stillness. There's no risk there. There's no deep repentance there, and there is no overwhelming joy there either. So look what you give up. I know people say, well, Brother Shane, I'm just worried. I know we're a Pentecostal church, but I am worried about wildfire. I'm worried about people getting in the flesh. You know what the best solution for people getting in the flesh is? Oh, let the fire of the Spirit burn. Let the genuine override that which is false. Oh, stop getting out of our minds that we're worried about getting into something that is false, and get into our minds and say, I'm going to seek after that which is genuine. The same Spirit of God that filled those apostles in the upper room is the one I need in my mind. I need him in my heart. I need him to give me the strength every day that I live. I'll not stand still, but I'll go forward by the grace of God. You know, a fireplace left unattended doesn't detonate, right? Now, I'm not saying you should leave your fireplace unattended, but we don't worry about it blowing up. What happens? You leave it alone, the fire just goes out. You know what? A church that loses the fire of God, you don't usually have to worry about it immediately erupting into scandal. You just have to worry about it eroding into nothingness, having no influence. If we have nothing to offer this world around us, what do we expect them to come in here and find? What do we expect them to come in here and do? Oh, what message are we presenting to them? Either we have something to offer, either we can say like Peter did, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Or what else are we going to offer them? Many churches today got it flipped around backward. Silver and gold I have a lot of, and I'll give you some of it if you come and you be a part of our church. Silver and gold have I none. None is not really the mantra. Silver and gold has a lot of the pastor. Silver and gold has a lot of the church people. Oh, but now I say, God, if we don't have any silver and gold, I'd rather have what those apostles had and be able to say, I'm not slothful in the things of God. I'm not lazy in the things of God. I'm not in a state of spiritual inertia, but I'm moving forward by the grace of God. Oh, the absence of flame feels manageable, but holy fire must be fed. It must be stirred, and it must be guarded. Oh, because the Christian life was never meant to smolder. It was meant to burn. The admonition here is clear. Do not let your zeal lag. Don't let it grow cold. Don't let it wane. Don't let it go off the deep end. In other words, this is an admonishment to not grow cold. The danger of growing cold. But no, the second of all, fervent in spirit. This is the source of the burning. I've talked about this fervency a little bit already, but let's look at it more deeply. Paul moves from the negative commandment, do not be slothful in diligence, to a positive intensity. Be fervent in spirit, if we could put it that way. The Amplified captures the intensity of this phrase. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit of God. The word fervent in Greek meant to boil and to seethe. Oh, it was used of water that reached its boiling point. It was used of metal that would glow when it was heated by an external thing. Oh, it was used of liquid that had been stirred into visible motion. He said, in other words, I want your spirit inside of you to be stirred up. I want it to be boiling over. I want there to be movement on the inside of your being. Paul's not speaking of some mild warmth here, but of something boiling and glowing within the heart. We may say it, let your spirit be white hot with holy fire. If I could say, let your spirit be white hot with holy fire. Oh, more than emotional hype here. This is inward combustion, because biblical fervency or zeal in the scriptures is not self-generated enthusiasm. It's not just to somebody who has an abundance of energy. That's not what Paul's writing about here. Of course, there are people who have an abundance of energy. But that's not what Paul speaks of here. It's not personality-driven enthusiasm. It's not just volume. It's not just temperament. It is spirit-generated combustion. Boiling water does not try to bubble. It is simply a reaction because heat has been applied. Hearts that are on fire for God are not on fire because necessarily they chose that. They are on fire because they have come in contact with the white hot glow of God's Spirit, and it has transferred that heat into their soul. Oh, it is not personality driven here. Oh, fervency in the believer is not self-generated excitement. It is the visible effect of divine heat when it is applied to the inner life of man. It is combustion from the inside out. It is internal combustion. That's what I'm praying for our church. I have gotten up here before and I've tried to do everything I can to get people excited about serving Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, I'm done. I'm not going to stand up here and try to get you excited about serving Jesus. If you're not excited because you've been in the prayer closet, I'll sit up here and I'll drive myself mad trying to get you excited about it. But can I tell you, somebody who is excited about serving Jesus this morning, it's this preacher that stands in front of you. It isn't because somebody else has rubbed off on me. It's because the Spirit of God lives on the inside and it bubbles over to the outside. Shh. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, this idea when he says to be fervent in spirit, it can refer to the human spirit or the Holy Spirit. There's not a definite article in the Greek which leaves room for discussion. But in the context, I believe the best way we are to understand what Paul speaks of here is that we are to let our human spirits be set ablaze by the Holy Spirit. Let your human spirit be set ablaze by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is never described as needing to be fervent, and believers are repeatedly commanded to be filled, to be restored, and to be renewed. Paul is describing the condition of the believer's inner life under the influence of the indwelling Spirit of God. The Spirit of God ignites the spirit of man. This is not natural temperament. This is supernatural ignition. What is the Spirit-fueled zeal that Paul speaks of here? First of all, Spirit-fueled zeal is energized by communion with God. Just like fire requires oxygen in order to burn, holy fire needs the appropriate atmosphere for this combustion to occur. The oxygen of holy zeal is communion with God. It comes through prayer. It comes through worship. It comes through meditation on Scripture. It comes through repentance and reliance upon God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've told you, you can tell this morning, my heart's stirred. I hope you can tell that. I look at you this morning, And I'll say it with all of my heart. What keeps this church from worshiping like we need to? I'm preaching at the Baptist church across the street. Preaching at this one. What keeps this church from worshiping like we need to? What holds you back? What keeps you out of the presence of God? Who would we point at and say, well, if it wasn't for that one, or if it wasn't for this, then I would get in and worship God like I need to. Oh, that is not a reason. That is an excuse. That is not an answer. That is a problem. Oh, and we need to stand before God and say, Lord, will you ignite my soul so that I don't care who's around me? I don't care who sees me. I don't care if there's anything else. I've come here to worship him and to hear his word. What holds us back? What keeps us clasped tight? Oh, when we know inside of our heart we should lift our hands when the music's going and give praise to God, what keeps that hand down? Oh, when we know that out of our heart should flow praise unto God verbally, what keeps our mouth shut? Oh, what is it that holds us back? What distraction is too great that it allows to override the fire that God has put on the inside of our heart? I'm telling you, folks, we are called to be such a people that are fervent in spirit. I tell you, I am only 31 years old, but I grew up in a church. The pastor, I would tell him, I love him. He was not a great biblical expositor. And I don't mean that in the wrong. I love him. He's not a great biblical expositor. Many times he'd get up there, and he didn't have points to his sermon. He didn't alliterate his points. But I remember saints of God coming into the church. And that pastor didn't have to get up there and prod them for 30 minutes to worship God. The song leader didn't have to sing the song exactly the way that we wanted it sung in order for them to worship. Oh, there didn't have to be the certain amount of people or certain people absent in order for people to worship God. I'll tell you what it was. There were some saints in that church, and I could probably name them by name, that had been on their face throughout the week, and they had been seeking God, and in the prayer closet, God had ignited their heart. They didn't have to come to church to get on fire. They came to church already aflame and ablaze with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we begin to sing the old hymns and sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It ignited something on the inside of them, and they overflowed in worship because the fire was already there. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm going to depart from my notes for just a moment and follow his leading. I'm going to tell you, as the pastor of this church, it is not my job to come in here and put wood on your fire every single week. It is not my job to come in here and try to fan the flames of Pentecost every single week. It is not my job. It is my job to get in the prayer closet and seek the face of God and for him to ignite my spirit, and then to come in here and for you to watch me burn in hopes that it will ignite your spirit as well. I am not a cheerleader, but I believe in the power of the Spirit of God to do it for each individual. Oh, I have asked God. I laid on my face at 5:30 this morning, and I said, God, I am a young man, and I don't even really know how to pastor this church. I told the Lord that this morning. I said, I don't know how to pastor them. I don't know exactly how to lead them like you would have. I said, God, I need your grace and your strength, and I need you to do it on the inside of every single individual. I can't do it for you. You gotta let God do it. And the oxygen of holy zeal comes through prayer and worship, communion with God. I love sitting down with those saints who glow with the power of God. You ever known anybody like that? I love sitting down with them. And you know what? Some of them, physically, they don't move as fast as they used to. Their hands are not as strong as they used to be. Their feet don't move as swift as they once were. But you sit down in their presence and there's something just boiling over on the inside. And there is something alive and real. And you can hear as they begin to talk about what this book says. And you can hear that it's not just words on a page. It is words written on the heart, on their very heart. Oh, you begin to hear about what God's done for them. And you realize they're not sharing somebody else's testimony, but they're talking about what God has done for them personally. All the oxygen for the combustion that is needed in our souls is going to come from communion with God. Riding down the interstate last night on the way home from that youth retreat, I was sitting there listening to a preacher, and I was weeping so hard I couldn't hardly keep that car on the road. My wife's asleep, my boys are asleep, and I'm weeping. And I said, God, what is it going to take for me and this church to be effective? Because whatever that is, that's what I want. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm getting ready to start pushing back the plate a little bit more as a pastor. And I'm calling on this church, if you are able, we're going to do a little season of prayer and fasting. And I call upon you. I know everybody can't fast 40 days. You might not even be able to fast a whole day. You do what you got to do. But we need to push our plates back a little bit. And we need to get in the presence of God. Because I do not want to drift into meaninglessness. I do not want to drift into normality. I don't want to drift into the cold. But I want to stay where the fire is. And I want the presence of God to be real. I'll tell you what that pastor said. He said he was in the same place. He'd come in every single week and he would preach his heart out. He said there were all kinds of issues in the church, problems arising. They didn't even hardly have the finances to keep the lights on. He said he got so discouraged with that church, he went and took a sabbatical for about 2 weeks. He said, I really just did it to get alone with God. I had to know what the next step was. He said he began to pray. Seemed like the heavens were brass. The more he prayed, the worse it got. He said, and finally the Lord spoke to him. He said, just as real as I'm talking now, he said, if you will set aside a time every single week and you will turn your midweek service into a prayer meeting and you will make it a set upon seeking the face of God and knowing his will, he said, I will add to that church, I will bless it, and I will use you as a testimony for your community. Oh, he said, they started doing it. They had setbacks, but it wasn't long. The church began to double in size. People started coming in, and he said, we didn't just come in to check off boxes. We didn't just come in to go through a routine. We didn't just worship because it was time to worship. He said, we come in and we love God with all of our hearts. We prayed like we love God. I preached like I love God. And you know what? It became contagious. The fire of God. He said, but what we needed was fresh wind and fresh fire. Can I tell you what Abundant Life Tabernacle needs this morning? It don't need another alliterated sermon. I love good homiletics. I love getting in the Word of God and breaking down the Scriptures. It is a love of mine. But I'll tell you, we cannot be taught into spiritual life. Oh, we have got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to take and bring it to life on the inside of us. Oh, we need the fresh wind and the fresh fire of the Holy Ghost to bring it alive in us. Stand with me all over the building this morning. I'm going to tell you, God's been interrupting my routine as a pastor. And I'm carrying that right into the church house. Last Sunday, both services, God interrupted our routine. I didn't come plan to do that. I have two sermons fully prepared, ready to preach. God interrupted it. I tell you, this Sunday, I had full plans of going through and preaching the rest of this sermon. But I'm going to stop right here because God is calling us to be ablaze with the power of the Holy Spirit. This world needs it. Our loved ones and those around us need it. It is essential for us if we are going to see what God has for our church. Say one more thing. We're getting ready to pray. Say one more thing. I thank God for the new faces we've got in this church. Thank you. I am glad you are here. But can I tell you something the Lord's put in my heart as well? God has not just called us to grow by transferring members from one church to this one. And dare we not think in our minds, dare we think in our minds that because we've gotten some faces, new faces, that, well, we're seeing God move and add to it. Thank God. I love you. I'm glad you're here. But you know what I want to see? I want to see the least, the last, and the lost, the broken, the busted, the disgusted, those who are broken in their sins. I want this to be an emergency room spiritually for people to come in and experience the presence of God. Whether it's the presence of God while Sister Haley is singing, whether it's the presence of God while I'm preaching, whether it's the presence of God while we're doing Sunday school, I want this to be that place. But you know what? The promise is given in the Old Testament. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, repent of their wicked ways, and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land. You know what we're going to start doing at this church? I'm not saying you haven't already been doing it, but we're going to do it actively. We're going to take God at His word and say, Lord, You said if we seek Your face, then You will do this. And I am asking, Lord, will You do it for us? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Father, I thank You for this church. I love this body of believers, and I want to see this church grow for Your glory. But God, we need an ignition from the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need the power of God from on high. Oh, Lord, will You search us? And where there are ashes in our being, will You breathe on us again? Where there is drift, will You anchor us? Where there is dullness, will You awaken us, Lord? Burn away the pride. Burn away any performance. Burn away any complacency, God. Ignite in us a holy and humble zeal, oh God. Make us fervent in spirit. Make us diligent in service. Make us servants who are burned for Your glory. Let it not be noise. Let it not be show. Let it be a holy fire. For the sake of Christ, who was consumed with zeal for His own Father's house, let it be so in Jesus' name. If this morning you mean business and you say, I need God to set a flame and a fire in my heart afresh, if that's you this morning, will you answer by responding in these altars? Make your way to these altars this morning and say, I need God to ignite my heart. If there's any ashes in your heart, if there's any cold places, if there's any point in which our zeal has waned or gone backward, today's the day. Now is the moment. Let it be ignited inside of our heart. Burn away anything that cannot be set ablaze by the holy fire of heaven.